Hello and happy day. This is Dr. Marianne DiIorio welcoming you to another broadcast of Winning with the Word. In a few short weeks, we will be celebrating another Christmas season. Where has this past year gone? If you're like me, the older you get, the faster time seems to fly. Just yesterday, it was January, and here we are already, approaching the end of another year and the beginning of a new one. Well, with another holiday season nearly upon us, let me ask you a question. Are you looking forward to Christmas this year? If your immediate answer to this question is no, then something is radically wrong. Often I hear people, especially women, say that they dread the holidays. Why? Because for them, the holidays have become a time of excessive stress, strife, and financial strain. Do you fit into this picture? Are you one of those people who dread the holidays and can't wait till they're over? If so, today's program will bless you because we will be exploring ways to make the Christmas season one of the most wonderful times of the year for you and your loved ones. There are many reasons that cause people to dread the holiday season. One of the chief of these reasons is the stress caused by uncomfortable family relationships. TV commercials and magazine ads would have us believe that the Christmas season is a happy time for all families. The truth of the matter, however, is that for many people, especially those from broken homes, the holiday season is very painful. For adults, it often means seeing ex-husbands and ex-wives, a situation that can arouse tension and cause a flood of unpleasant memories. The children of these broken homes especially suffer during this time of year since their dreams of a united family have been shattered. Even if your home has not been broken by divorce, stress can result from other factors. For instance, perhaps a loved one died during an earlier holiday season. Ever since then, you've had a difficult time feeling joyful during the holidays. Or perhaps the holidays bring visits from difficult family members. An overbearing aunt, a meddling mother-in-law, a complaining sibling. On top of this, add the extra tasks of buying and wrapping presents, baking cookies, attending social gatherings. I think you get the picture. It's no wonder that many people would rather take a long winter's nap and wake up after the holidays are over. Another significant reason for a dread of the holiday season is the financial strain it places on most families. While we rack up those charges on our credit cards, there is always lurking in the back of our minds the thought that payday is coming. And I don't mean the day you get your paycheck. I mean the day that that credit card bill comes due in January. If you see yourself in any of these scenarios, let me suggest that you may be approaching the holiday season with the wrong attitude, the wrong perspective, and the wrong decision. And when you approach anything with the wrong attitude, the wrong perspective, and the wrong decision, you are bound to have problems. Well, what are the right attitude, the right perspective, and the right decision toward the Christmas season? The answer to these questions lies in understanding the true meaning of Christmas. Christmas is, first and foremost, the celebration of the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To approach Christmas without acknowledging this truth above all else is to invite stress, strife, and financial strain. Looking at our culture today, one would hardly recognize this true meaning of Christmas. Rarely, for example, do we see in our malls and other public places any indication that Christmas commemorates the birth of Christ. On the contrary, we see the commemoration and exaltation of Santa Claus, cartoon figures, sports heroes, and movie stars instead of our Lord. What has happened is that we have become an idolatrous nation, a nation of people who worship a host of false gods rather than the one true God. To worship anything above God is idolatry. Most people think of idolatry as the worship of pagan gods. The truth is, however, that idolatry takes on many forms. For instance, when we put our jobs above God, then we are guilty of idolatry. When we put our spouse or our children above God, we are guilty of idolatry. In fact, when we put a church ministry above God, we are guilty of idolatry. Idolatry is all around us. At Christmas, we exalt Santa Claus. At Easter, we exalt the Easter Bunny. Throughout the year, we exalt cartoon figures, movie stars, sports celebrities. But when do we exalt the one true God who alone has the right to be exalted? Whenever we put anything else above God, we are the losers, and we lose big time. We lose our peace, our joy, our health, and our money. So, how can we develop a right attitude, a right perspective, and a right decision toward the Christmas season? To answer that question, I'd like to give you a few fail-proof keys that will help you. Key number one, spend time in daily prayer as you prepare for the Christmas season. Prayer is critical not only as we begin the Christmas season, but as we begin every day of our lives. Prayer is a conversation with God. When we pray, there is a time for us to speak and a time for us to listen as God speaks to us. All too often, prayer becomes a one-way conversation in which we ask God for what we need. While we certainly can and should ask our Heavenly Father to meet our needs, we should also spend some of our prayer time telling Him how much we love Him and thanking Him for His great blessings in our lives. If you are a parent, you know how good you feel when your child wraps his arms around your neck and says, "I love you, Mommy," or "I love you, Daddy." Well, God is our Heavenly Father, and He feels the same way when we tell Him we love Him. There is also another aspect of prayer called practicing the presence of God. This aspect of prayer consists of a running conversation with God during every waking moment. It is one way of obeying God's command in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, to pray without ceasing. In practicing the presence of God, we talk to God in the midst of everything we do. For instance, we can talk with Him while we're cooking dinner or grocery shopping or writing a report for work. How do we do this? We simply say, for example, "God, would you help me to organize the points of this report I'm writing?" Or, "God, I need your advice in how to help Joey with the problem he's having in school." God is delighted when we talk with Him in this way because He wants to be a part of every detail of our lives. So, as you prepare for the Christmas season, pray and practice the presence of God. Key number two, when you pray, pray specifically for wisdom in handling the Christmas season. For example, as you prepare your gift list, ask God to help you make wise choices. Ask Him to help you stay within your budget and to keep you from buying gifts on impulse or out of a sense of guilt. Too often, parents, especially mothers who work outside the home, feel the need to buy expensive gifts or large quantities of gifts for their children. Without realizing it, they are trying to assuage the guilt they may feel at leaving their children with a babysitter day after day. Or, in the case of a broken home, the ex-husband and father may feel guilty about his son's anger toward him and may translate that guilt into an expensive gift in the hope that he will buy back his son's love. When you pray, ask God also to help you budget your time. It is foolish to take on more activities than you can handle, especially during the Christmas season. For instance, if you have a job outside your home, you don't have to bake cookies for your child's preschool class. You could buy cookies at a local bakery instead. Key number three, keep continually in mind that, as a popular motto says, Jesus is the reason for the season. The focal point of Christmas is Jesus Christ. If He has been your focal point throughout the year, you won't have any trouble making Him your focal point during the Christmas season. When we keep Jesus as the focal point of the Christmas season, we won't get caught up in the frenzy of materialism. We won't get caught up in the strife of poor family relationships or in the stress of trying to do everything and to do it perfectly. Why? Because when we focus on Jesus, all of our problems are put in their proper perspective. We begin to see life from God's point of view, and when we see life from God's point of view, we realize how small our problems are next to our big God. For instance, the task of buying gifts no longer seems overwhelming because God gives us wisdom as we make our purchases. The dread of seeing unpleasant family members is eliminated because Jesus fills us with His love for them. The loss of a loved one becomes less painful as Jesus encourages us to forget our own pain by helping to lessen the pain of others. Key number four, beware of succumbing to the spirit of greed. Greed is a very subtle spirit that rears its ugly head, especially during the Christmas season. Greed reveals itself in maxed out credit cards and impulse buying. Sometimes called materialism, greed is the insatiable desire to acquire things for the purpose of fulfilling a spiritual need. Have you ever felt depressed and gone out shopping to overcome your feeling of emptiness? If so, you were trying to fill a spiritual need with a material thing, and that's impossible to do. A material thing will never be able to satisfy a spiritual need. Only spiritual things can satisfy spiritual needs. Our culture has considered materialism to mean having a lot of money. That's not what materialism is. I personally know several millionaires who are not the least bit materialistic. In fact, they are among the most godly, generous people I know. By the same token, I personally know people who are in poverty, and yet they are among the greediest, most materialistic people I've ever met. What's the difference between the two groups of people? The difference is that the millionaires I know do not use material things to satisfy spiritual needs, whereas some of the broke people I know do. Do you use material things to satisfy spiritual needs? For instance, do you eat when you're angry or depressed but not hungry? If so, you're using a material thing, food, to satisfy a spiritual need, the need for joy and peace. We will never be able to satisfy spiritual needs with material things. Only God can satisfy our spiritual needs. Without Him, all of our attempts to satisfy our spiritual needs through material things will ultimately fail. In the end, we will be left feeling empty inside. I know that there are many of you listening today who have been trying to satisfy a spiritual need with material things. If you want to end that vicious cycle, you can, simply by turning to God to meet your spiritual needs. Let me encourage you to do that right now by inviting you to repeat this simple prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I come to you just as I am. I admit that I am a sinner in need of your mercy and grace. I believe that you are the Son of God, that you died for me, and that you rose again on the third day. I invite you now to come into my life. I receive you as my personal Savior and as the Lord of my life. Make of me all that you created me to be. Amen. If you sincerely pray this prayer, you are now a born-again follower of Jesus Christ. I invite you to write to me at drmarianne@marianndiorio.com. That's MarianneDiorio. I would like to send you a little booklet that will help get you started in your Christian walk. Also, I'd like to invite you to visit my website, marianndiorio.com, where you will find a wealth of information to help you in your Christian walk. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time, this is Dr. Marianne DiIorio, your virtual life coach, reminding you that God loves you just as you are and just where you are, and that He will help you to keep on winning with the Word.